Sportsnet Hockey Insider is Nick Kyprios. Good morning, Kipper.
Morning, guys. How are you?
All right.
Your former franchise let everybody down again.
Oh, it's like now it's partly his fault, is it?
Yeah, you gotta wonder what direction they go moving forward here.
What do they do with Ovechkin? I mean, I wondered the other day if it goes down like it did last night. I mean, as opposed to moving him, is it time to take the sea off his sweater? What do you do here?
That one would be a tough one. Anything you do outside of moving him, kind of embarrasses him, embarrasses the organization. It's really hard. Either you trade him or you give him another shot at trying to win with him as a leader. But how many cracks can you get at it? And that's the issue. Like, he's going to go down in history as one of the greatest goal scorers in our game. But as far as putting him in that category amongst the best players in the world who were able to lead, unfortunately, he'll go down as a flop.
Can you think of a tighter also, Nick, being around and connected as you are, of a tighter owner-player bond? That stuff develops over time. Mike Ilitch was going to trade Steve Yzerman, kept him, and then, of course, then there's a window where, no, Joe Sakic will never get traded, or Steve Yzerman will never get traded, or Mario. But this thing was there from day one. When Ovechkin showed up at 17 and the Caps took him first overall, that's been that Ted Leonsis thing. They'd almost both have to agree, like a married couple, amicably to part ways. It can't be one and not the other, right?
Oh, 100%, and I was there in the Capitals organization in the early 90s, and, it was a good organization, but, there was question marks on it. The Cap Center was along the Belt Line. At the time, there was absolutely no thought of going into the D.C. area. It was a mess downtown. Ovechkin really was the face of the franchise to change all of that. And the development that went on with the new Verizon Center there and the development around it. I mean, he really centered that whole rebirth of the Washington Capitals. I mean, that would be a really difficult emotional breakup between Ted Leonsis and Ovechkin.
Like, he's been as important for marketing for that team as he has for winning, hasn't he? Maybe more so.
100%. And that in itself would make it incredibly difficult to make the decision to try to move him. He was the centerpiece that in many ways saved the franchise or gave it that extra shot to move in a different direction. So business is one thing and winning is another. And very successful in one way and unfortunately has not been able to get the job done in the other direction of trying to bring a championship to the D.C. area.
And yet, how close, right? I mean, if they score a first period goal, it's different. I mean, and he would have been the guy, right? I mean, it goes off the knob of Fleury's stick.
Oh,
it looks like he's got him beat. It's going. There's a whole lot of net there. There's just this 1-inch hockey stick that, come on. I mean, that's how close it is from being different, right?
Yeah, we talked about it last night on Hockey Night in Canada in 2009. There was a breakaway that he had that Fleury just had a glove save, and those are defining moments for these star players. And you're right, it can go either which way, and perhaps if they get that lead and there's a different feel, but, ultimately, fair or unfair, this will always come down to Ovechkin not winning the big one. And they were deeper this year. This was the best team that he had. Going into last night, and you're wondering, even if Ovechkin doesn't score, this team should be able to get the job done. They've done it for two games in a row, basically, with him playing well under, 20 minutes. Give him some power play time, but other than that, he was treated like a third liner. And you thought Burakovsky and Backstrom and Oshie, Kuznetsov, they were deeper and more talented overall than the Penguins. You look at the Penguins' blue line, and you're sitting there going, man, they can't even win an exhibition game, let alone a playoff game. But good coaching and one hot goaltender, and there's your difference.
How do you view it for Fleury from this point on? I mean, the constant thought was we've been waiting for him, Nick, for every offseason to somehow get jettisoned, and the concept always has been, guess what? He makes too much money and there's too much term, but the Pens would love to throw him overboard, and you could have a Stanley Cup winning goalie for a second time in Marc-Andre Fleury, and with a year left on his deal. And they'd still have to, it'd be like Mike Vernon winning the 1 year. You'd still have to say, great job. We still got to push you out the door.
Yeah, without a doubt. Without a doubt. And you know what? I mean, for sure it looks like Jim Rutherford's a genius for holding on to him. But I can tell you that there wasn't one team at the trade deadline that pushed really hard to get him.
Like Bishop was the more valuable guy, really, wasn't he, on a short, though he was becoming a free agent. Yeah.
You know, whether we're talking about Calgary or some other teams, they were kind of kicking tires, but no one made Jimmy an offer. He couldn't refuse, and if they did, he would have been traded. But hindsight's 20/20. Pittsburgh keeps him. Murray gets hurt, and he outplays Holtby. That's all there is to it. He was a better goaltender than Holtby, and in many ways, that's the main reason I see that Pittsburgh's moving on and Washington's out.
All right, Nick Kiprios, great talking with you. Tell you what, don't watch a game today, all right? I'm going to let you not watch a game today, and you can return to action tomorrow.
I'm getting tweets saying, man, you're starting to babble. You're starting to not make any sense. And I'm like, buddy, I've been on a Jerry Lewis telethon for 30 days in a row. 30 days in a row. No wonder I'm not making any sense.
Well, you made sense here today. Thanks again.
All right, guys. Have a great one.